Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, February 13th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. Hey, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. And guess what? This week's show marks my 6th anniversary of podcasting. I know, isn't it fucking great? I mean, who would have guessed that we would have had such a long run? And what a remarkable year it's been, too. I brought you fascinating interviews with remarkable people for all of my series. The Play With It series, which features conversations with folks in the adult products industry. The Sex Education series, which features chats with kinksters and porn stars and advocates for alternative lifestyles. The Sex Wisdom series, which brings you interviews with the movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. And of course, the Erotic Mind series, which is now 5 years old.
You don't know how to have fun.
But today, on account of it being my freaking anniversary, we're gonna have a whole lot of fun together. I have a question from a lovely young woman, Abby, that stimulates a remembrance. Then I'm hit up by three women, Trisha, Gwen, and Lucy, for some Valentine's Day menu suggestions. And finally, I report on the euphemisms my friends and I came up with for our naughty bits.
This is ridiculous.
You're gonna love it, honestly. Stick around. So let's launch ourselves into year 7 with a bang, shall we? This week's special anniversary podcast is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to the standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I am exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 6 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows, interesting interviews, and lightning Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse sex-positive programming? And all of it always comes to you absolutely free.
I don't understand.
Well, okay. So right about now, you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexAdvice.com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. And now I'm processing donations with PayPal, so it's even easier than before to make your contribution. All right, on with the show. Our first question needs a bit of a backstory. A few weeks ago, I participated in an Ask the Sexpert panel at the University of Washington. I had a wonderful time with the attendees and my fellow panelists. A day or so later, I got this message from one of the people who attended the presentation. Hey, I was at the talk last week at the University of Washington, asked the sexpert. You were awesome. I'm so glad I went. It was really fun. Anyways, I have a question that we didn't get to. I'm wondering about penis enlargement pills. My boyfriend has been using Enduros, and I just don't know much about it, and I wanted your take on them. Are they okay for his body? I am on the more holistic side of what I put into my body, my boyfriend as well. I just want to make sure we are not doing any harm. Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you. Abby. Hey, Abby. Thanks for your nice note and your kind words. I really enjoy doing the UW gigs, and I always get to meet such nice folks. To your specific question, Enduros and all the myriad other such products on the market are bogus nonsense. I've written and spoken about this so often on my site that I keep telling myself I'll never answer another word about it, but because you're being so nice, here's the 911 on this stuff. Our dick size is determined by genetics, like our skin color, hair color, stature, and the like. Permanent male enhancement by any means short of surgery is a fiction, and surgery is an exceptionally risky procedure, which oftentimes only makes matters worse. In other words, a guy has about as much chance of growing a bigger dick than what his genetics has determined for him as he does growing his feet bigger or adding inches to his height or changing the color of his skin. It's simply not going to happen. Just like there are ways to give the illusion of bigger feet, darker or lighter skin, or being taller than you are, there are things you can do to create the illusion that you're growing yourself a bigger dick. But all the creams, the jelking, the pumps, the weights, and what have you, will only have a short-term effect if they have any effect at all. In the end, you will have spent a whole lot of money, wasted a lot of time, and been consumed with a great deal of anxiety and possibly even injure yourself to wind up having what you've already had and not significantly more. Now, may I direct you to one of the most popular postings on my site? It's from way back in 2006. It's an exchange I had with a guy about the size of his unit. It's titled, Much Ado About Very Little. And here is that exchange for your edification. Y'all gotta get a load of this. It's rare that one person can generate an entire column with his email exchange, but that's what happened this month. The curious thing is that I was already preparing a column about men's obsession with dick size when along comes this dude and practically writes the whole damn column on his own. Check it out. Dear Dr. Dick, my lover of 10 years just left me. The guy he left me for is 12 years younger, and I will be 41 in June. The primary reason that he left is because, and I quote, you have a great body, and you are the most attentive lover that I've ever had, but he has a 10-inch dick, and you can't compete with that. And he's right. I only have 7.5 inches. I've stopped going out. Every chat room online has guys that are 10 inches plus, so I have not been in chat rooms, gone to bars, or stayed in touch with friends. The two guys I attempted to have sex with, one was a stripper who was on the cover of Inches the week after we met. The other was an army guy that had a dick like a piece of Polish sausage. I've never been a fan of huge cocks, but now I want one. I want to be able to have at least 9.5 inches. Can this be done through surgery? I understand that vacuum pumps do not work. Can you seriously offer me some help or advice? Thanks. Without a big one. Wow, without a big one. You've come up with a really brilliant idea. Let's all fight shallow with shallow. Honey, you're 41, and yet you apparently still have this adolescent grasp on the whole dick size thing, huh? Too bad. I guess some folks just never grow up. And I hate to break the news to you, but all those guys online, the ones with the 10 inches, Those are cyber inches, darling. Cyber inches have no connection at all to real, honest-to-goodness, live inches. Geez, wake up and smell the coffee. You're giving us homos a bad name. Throughout history, men have been obsessed about the size of their cocks. And when there's a tension of this magnitude paid to something this trivial, you can be sure there's going to be an entire industry poised to bilk the shit out of the Willy Worrisome. Just like you. Hey, where do you suppose the term snake oil originated? Sheesh. All of this unfortunate big dick envy creates a never-ending parade of con artists trying to sell a remedy of one sort or another to cure guys just like you of their shame. But take it from Dr. Dick, the Dick Doctor. It's all bullshit. And some of the bullshit is really scary and dangerous bullshit. For every little peanut out there, and if you're reporting your size accurately, you are not little in any way, shape, or form, there is some kooky diet, ridiculous cream, bogus massage technique, or worthless breathing exercises that is supposed to transform one's mini-meat into the giant economy size. And let's not forget the weights you can hang on your thang, vacuum devices to pump up your thang, and, of course, the 21st century solution, cosmetic surgery, to put all a happy face on your thing. The results are dubious, if there's any results at all, and each has negative side effects, some of which are more revolting than others. Here's the last word on this. Don't waste your money on any of this crap. Or better yet, send me the money, and I'll put it to good use. Here's the best advice I can offer a guy who is unhappy about the size of his schlong. Learn to love what you got and leave it the hell alone. My overriding concern for you is for your state of mind. I ask myself, what kind of person would chase after a faithless boyfriend, disrupt an established value system, and seriously contemplate physically altering his appearance with all the risks that that implies? I can only assume that this is just some kind of midlife crisis that you are experiencing and that this will pass in time. Hang in there, Dr. Dick. Well, he didn't like that all that much because he writes back. Richard, or should I say Dr. Dick, although I am angry and hurt, I'm in no way experiencing a midlife crisis. In addition, if the correct way to measure the penis is from the base to the tip top side, I have done so with a fabric tape measure. The tape breaks or bends at just 7.5 inches. In my experience, that is small. Just curious, how big is Dr. Dick's cock? How big are the cocks of the guys you hire for your films and productions? I bet there are none my size or smaller. I always find it interesting that guys like Ron Jeremy or the late Scott O'Hara delving out advice to men much smaller, telling them to learn to love themselves. Gee, that helps a lot at a bathhouse or a play party. Guys like that, like the guys my ex left me for, never have to worry about dropping their pants after a hot date with a potential boyfriend or fuck buddy, or worry about being humiliated because of the size of their cock. I guess if I were as well adjusted or well hung, it wouldn't be a problem. Signed, Without. Dear Without, here's what I know. What is the average penis size? The average penis size, when erect, is only 5.7 inches to 6 inches. Over 90% of men possess this size. Now, how to measure your penis size? The easiest way to measure an erect penis is to use a piece of string or similar and wrap it around the thickest part of the erect penis. This is usually very near the base of your dick, but the glands just below the head can sometimes be thicker. Make a mark on the string where it meets the start of the string and then lay the string flat next to a ruler and measure the distance between the beginning and the end mark. This measurement is your penis circumference. To find out the length, use a ruler running along the top of your penis to measure from base to penis. That's where the shaft meets the body to its tip. Good luck, Dr. Dick. He writes back, Dr. Dick, I was able to find your profile online, and you are quite obviously very well hung. Lucky you. I have decided to talk to a surgeon in New York City that does this particular surgery. In addition, he's putting me in touch with men that he has performed this procedure on and have had success. Since you are already well hung, I don't expect you to understand. I imagine no one has ever left you because your dick was not big enough. I had hoped for some real helpful advice. Instead, I found your comments belittling. Thank you. Without. Dear Without, dude, are you serious? You don't know squat about me, girlfriend. And here's a tip. The beauty part of free advice is that you can either take it or leave it. Belittling, huh? Curious choice of words in light of what we're discussing. Take it from a professional. It is you who belittle yourself, not me. A big dick makes one a curiosity. It does not make one interesting. Have a ball with your surgeon, and maybe, if you spend a shitload of money to get an extra inch of dick, you can be a happier man. I doubt it, but I could be wrong. While you're at it, why not have your doctor put you in touch with the guys who aren't success stories? Have you ever seen a botched dick job? Not pretty. I'll be willing to wager the cost of such an intervention that there are a lot more dissatisfied customers than the satisfied ones. Best of luck to you. And, oh, have a nice day, Dr. Dick. He writes back, Richard, are you a real doctor? Would you be this insensitive if I were a paying patient? I have lost my lover to someone younger because he has a bigger cock. I have not had sex in 6 months. The two times I've tried, guys were hung huge. I don't go out. I don't see any possibility or chance for happiness without being able to compete. Tried 3 therapists. One fell asleep while I was crying. One said I was too angry for his experience. The last one was a woman. What do I do? Well, here's what you should do. Without a big one, drop all this pathetic self-pity routine and invest in something that will make you more interesting. Something that does not call attention to your dick regardless of its size. Either that, or you'll find yourself even more alone and bitter than you currently are. So buck up, buddy, and pull yourself together. No more whining. Good luck. Well, thanks God that's over with. Now, in the last few days, I received 3 messages from 3 different women, Trisha, Gwen, and Lucy. They were all asking the same question. They wanted to know if I had any suggestions as to what foods might make for a sex-filled Valentine menu. I responded to each of the women in the same way. Now, people first sought aphrodisiacs as a remedy for various sexual difficulties, especially performance anxiety. Aphrodisiacs are also thought to boost both male and female potency. You know, in ancient times, nutrition was always an issue. Food hasn't always been available like it is today. And of course, nothing pulls the plug on libido like malnutrition. And hunger radically reduces fertility rates. Our forebears believed that anything in nature that looked like or represented fertility, such as eggs and bulbs, snails, were considered to have sexual powers. Other types of food were considered stimulating because they physically resembled male or female genitalia. The Greeks and Romans believed that aniseed had special powers. Sucking on the seeds is said to increase your desire. Or maybe it's just freshened your breath long enough to get close to enough to fuck. Almonds have been a source of fertility throughout the ages. The aroma is thought to have induced passion in females. Arugula, or rocket, has been considered an aphrodisiac since the 1st century A.D. Arugula was added to grated orchid bulbs and parsnips, which was combined with pine nuts and pistachios for a full erotic feast. The Aztecs called the avocado tree the testicle tree for obvious reasons. The fruit, hanging in pairs as it does, resembles a man's cojones. Bananas have a marvelous phallic shape, but from a more practical standpoint, bananas are rich in potassium and B vitamins necessary for sex hormone production. Chocolate is known as the nourishment of the gods. Chocolate contains chemicals thought to affect neurotransmitters in the brain. It also contains more antioxidants than does red wine. Carrots are believed to be a stimulant to the male. The phallic shape has long been associated with stimulation since ancient times. Early Middle Eastern potentates used to use carrots to aid in their seductions. The Arabian Nights tell the tale of a merchant who had been childless for 40 years but was cured by a concoction that included coriander. Cilantro is also known as an appetite stimulant. Fennel, like anise, was found to be a source of a natural plant estrogens. Use of fennel as an aphrodisiac dates back to the ancient Egyptians. An open fig looks like a vagina, and traditionally it's been thought of as a sexual stimulant. A man breaking open a fig and eating it in front of his lover is a powerful erotic act. The heat in garlic is said to stir sexual desires. Garlic has been used for centuries to cure everything from the common cold to heart ailments. Ginger root, raw, cooked, pickled, or crystallized, is a powerful stimulant to the circulatory system. And what is good sex? It isn't all about healthy blood flow. The Egyptians believed that honey was a cure for sterility and impotence. Medieval seducers plied their partners with mead, a fermented drink made from honey. Lovers on their honeymoon drank mead, and it was thought to sweeten the marriage. Mustard may be because of its bite is believed to stimulate sexual glands and increase desires. Chinese women prize nutmeg as an aphrodisiac. In quantity, nutmeg can be hallucinogenic. Oysters are legendary aphrodisiacs. They, of course, resemble a pussy, but they are also nutritious and high in protein. And finally, tomatoes, known as the love apple, are considered love food because they have great nutritional value and their acidity is considered a sex stimulant. The scent and flavor of vanilla is also believed to increase lust. Good luck! So finally, there's this. Me and some friends were sitting around shooting the shit, and we were all pretty well lubricated, if you catch my drift, when suddenly one of our gang decides it was time for word games. What is it with straight chicks and parlor games, particularly after hours of conspicuous consumption? The woman initiating the structured play suggests Pictionary. We all groan in disgust. She's crestfallen and starts to pout. The evening begins to spiral into a bummer. I decide to come to her rescue. Hey guys, want to help me with my sex advice column? That sure enough gets her attention, don't you know? Listen up, I need your help. I'm running out of clever synonyms for cock and cunt. Let's do play a word game, but not Pictionary. How about if we try to come up with a list of all the euphemisms we can think of for penis and vagina? Well, faster than you can say Dick and Jane? Pens and pads of paper magically appear and we all go to work. You can almost smell the burning rubber as my well-lubricated friends' brains strained with the task. As their substance-induced haze began to part, the words are scribbled on paper. Snickering and giggling soon become guffaws and belly laughs. Everyone's having a gay old time. In about 30 minutes, we have a respectable list. But before I reveal what we've come up with, I want to make some important observations. At least, I think they are important. So, some of the submissions were way too silly for inclusion on the list, and I think that was caused by the copious amounts of adult substances consumed. You know how folks get. A lot of the submissions were on a number of different people's lists. Some of the euphemisms were well known, others really obscure. Some were culturally defined, others were more cross-cultural. Some were funny and charming, others not so much. Some were sweet, others were downright mean-spirited. The lists compiled by the women were considerably shorter than the lists compiled by the men. There were way more synonyms for penises than for vaginas. Women tended to have kinder euphemisms for their genitals. Men, on the other hand, often had harsh and crude euphemisms for women's genitals. I thought that was really interesting and very telling. The men also tended to have powerful synonyms for their genitals, while the women tended toward cuter names for a guy's junk. I thought that was really interesting and very telling, too. So many of the allusions were also food-related. That could tell us a lot about the popularity of oral sex, I suppose. So here are some of the highlights of our evening's work. For the penis, we have Admiral Winky, Captain Winky, Fun Gun, Gash Mallet, Tallywhacker, Tent Peg, Tent Pole, Baby Maker, Action Johnson, the AIDS Grenade, oh yikes, Anaconda, Bad Boy, Baloney Pony, Banana, Battering Ram, Beef Stick, Handy Andy, Beaver Buster, Beaver Cleaver, The Bishop, The Chancellor, The Thingamabob, Thingy, Third Leg, Thomas, Glowworm, Bratwurst, Hardware, Caped Crusader, Cherry Picker, Godzilla, Happy Worm, Tiny Tim, Sausage, Thunderstick, Heat-Seeking Moisture Missile, Beefy McManstick, Biggest Dickus, Coccus Erectus, Dickimus Maximus, Vanius Maximus, Elvis, Giggle Stick, Hairy Snake, Trouser Snake, Ham Roll, Hercules Verve Pipe, Velvet Pipe, Whacker, Weapons of Ass Destruction, Middle Leg, Milkman, Tonsil Tickler, Python, Poker, Muff Mole, Brutus, Organ, Salami, Tube Steak, Kong, Weenie, Wick, Probe, Chorizo, Mr. Big, Clam Digger, Cyclops, One-Eyed Giant, Peepee, The One-Eyed Ranger, Governor, Morning Muscle, Pistol, Peanut, Turkey Neck, Upright Citizen, Love Meat, Love Muscle, Blood Slug, Blowtorch, Jizz Whiz, Nightcrawler, Nightstick, Old Faithful, Nimrod, Hip Snake, Uncle Dick, Uncle Remus, Uncle Richard, Uncle Spunk, Uncle Wiggly, The Nuke, Package, Nut Cannon, Homo Erectus, Excalibur, Fat Albert, Frankfurter, Louisville Plugger, Johnson, Bob Dole, Bob Johnson, Widget, Wiener, Muscle of Love, Lizard, Bobo, Digit, Kielbasa, Bone, Boner, Pickle, Lickin' Stick, Licorice Stick, Little Buddy, Little Mister, Dingy, Dinky, Dipstick, Fuck Puppet, Cigar, Knob, Hooded Warrior, Fire Hose, Skin Flute, Equipment, Missile, Hoagie, Rocket, Phallus, Franken Beans, Prick, Willy, Wee Willy, Winky, Wee Willy Winky, Poon Prod, Poon Pounder, Poon Wrecker, Dirk Diggler, dagger, dong, fleshbone, cum cannon, bushwhacker, buster, thunderstrick, chocho, pole, chunko love, dooley dandy, el capitan, el presidente, hymen hammer, jackhammer, javelin, wilbur, willard, rodzilla, rectum rooter, rump wrangler, stick shift, lollipop, magic wand, sword, weasel, wood, woody, zipper ripper, crankshaft, creamsicle, cream stick, cream spritzer, yum yum, wing ho lo, crotch cobra, crotch cowboy, crotch rocket, ramrod, rick hard, stubby, swingin' sirloin, pud, putz, mandango, root, prong, menstrual minor, pride and joy, prince charming, pussy duster, cum pump, cupid's arrow, curious George, custard cannon, hose, sperm spitter, hot beef injection, hot dog, hot rod, hot tamale, meat, Jimmy and the twins, joystick, meat stick, Rumpel's foreskin, schlong, schnitzel, schlong, slong, Julio, Junior, man meat, man muscle, man pole, shaft, skivvy, lizard, power tools, Slim Jim, stiffy. And for the vagina, hole, hooch, juice box, dank diner, oh, man's ruin, snatch, koozie, cunt, cooch, box, dent, fofo, meat curtains, the abyss, bearded clam, dick dive, dick sharpener, dick shed, fortune nookie, quim, roast beef curtain, bacon strip, cave, cha-cha, fresh curtains, or flesh curtains, I'm sorry, red snapper, rug, gap, raw oyster, yeast cake, rod roadster, wookie hole, axe wound, camel toe, mud flaps, French poodle, hairy man thumb, hairy Mary, man's ruin, flower, fluff, blood tap, slime slit, fandango, ditch, dripping slit, love tunnel, money box, peach, peach fish, pearl pit, pecan patty, pelt, quiff, slobbering bulldog, oi oi oi, woo-ha, finger warmer, fish factory, fish hole, fish pie, fish tacos, flaming lips, gravy boat, lotus flower, oval office, snizzle, whisker biscuit, clam, fun tunnel, fur pie, lower lips, nappy canoe, shrimp boat, wide papaya smile, bologna sandwich, bearded clam, catcher's mitt, bearded taco, bunny, dyke snack, slice, wooza, fertile delta, home plate, the promised land, bald man in a boat, boy in a boat, bulldog's lips, fuzzy taco, hatchet wound, sperm bank, wet winkle, meat wallet, meatloaf, miffy, midge, bitch cake, nookie, poon, poontang, sloppy joe, tunnel of love, V, vag, yanni, yum yum, hot box, knob gobbler, knots landing, treasure chest, organ grinder, pink taco, pinky stinky, fish, piss curtains, stench, trench, ugh, sweet spot, tunnel, a tuna tunnel, velvet box, breakfast of champions, spunk locker, Cock Cave, Cock Cozy, Cock Garage, Cock Holster, Trout Basket, Tulip, Tuna Melt, Glory Hole, Ganache, Golden Gully, Gold Mine, Glory Road, Goo Pot, Gooey Man Trap, Gouge, Kit Kat, Muffin, Hoochie, Vajayjay, Muffler, Muffy, Munchbox, Boneyard, Box Lunch at the Y, Clown's Pocket, Fuckhole, Gash Muff, Hoo Ha, and Hooch. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. It's been wonderful having you, and I'm glad that I'm able to celebrate my 6th year anniversary with you guys.
You've been a very good boy.
Well, thanks. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week, Wednesday, for a super-duper podcast interview with a very interesting guest for the Sex Wisdom series. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one we just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administration costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, and if you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm whoring for money. That's what I'm doing. This is a one-time donation, and there's no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees or anything like that. And you can be certain that every dime that you donate will go to support this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. So, until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.